Today, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord concludes the Christmas season. And the Christmas season, as we know, is primarily about revelation. The revelation of God in human form, the revelation that is in the person of Jesus about who God is. He shows us in a human body and in a human life what it looks like to be God, to share in the life of the Father. And so in the conclusion of this season, we have kind of three feasts together. They've been separated in modern times, but not so long ago we celebrated Epiphany and Baptism of the Lord and the wedding feast at Cana, all as one celebration. And why was that? Because they're all about the revelation of the Son of God. He's first revealed to the shepherds and to the Magi as an infant in Bethlehem. Secondly, he's revealed as the Son of God at his baptism. And then thirdly, his first miracle, the changing of the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana, is the revelation of himself as the agent of salvation, as the one who works miracles to heal what's wrong with our world and to make it more the kingdom of God. And so we also celebrate today our baptism. And every Sunday is baptism day, but on this day particularly we think about baptism. And baptism is about transformation. Now Jesus' baptism wasn't a transformation like ours, but it was a transformation in a way. It was a transformation from his obscurity in Nazareth, his unknownness, his childhood. And right after this, the Spirit drives him out into the desert where he spends 40 days and 40 nights in that dangerous, deadly place of the wilderness. And there's a kind of a transformation that takes place in his deep prayer and fasting, an awareness of his increasing consciousness of his divinity. And he comes back empowered to begin his public ministry. But transformation always has to do with a death. Jesus had to let go of his ordinariness in the life of Nazareth, working with his father as a carpenter, you know, childhood innocence, all that sort of thing, and take on the responsibility that he was destined to have as this sword that pierces and divides. It has to do with death. You know, as Jesus' human consciousness deepens, he's more and more aware that it's going to have to do with his death. And it's a horrific death, that it has to do with suffering. And in all transformation, it always involves a death. In order to be transformed from one thing to another, you have to die to that first thing. So Jesus had to die to his childhood, to his obscurity, and take on his mission. And so do we. You know, most of us were baptized as infants. And so that was the beginning. But in adult baptism, it's a little bit more obvious. A person steps down into the font and goes through a symbolic drowning. You know, baptism is about death. It's about dying to the old life of sin and embracing new life in Christ. It's rebirth. And birth always has death surrounding it. I mean, giving birth is not an easy thing. How many women throughout history have died in childbirth? How many children have died as they were being born? There's tragedy surrounding the beauty and innocence and significance of birth. And in the Christmas story, Jesus, the Magi bring three gifts, and one of them is myrrh, which is an anointing for dead bodies. It's a warning, you might say, of what is going to happen to this child, that he's going to have to die. And there's the threat of Herod to kill the child, and so they have to escape to Egypt. You know, there's death and transformation surrounding the whole story. But that's the case with us too. And so we go through this symbolic drowning and we come out the other side, reborn now in Christ. And the Spirit is involved there. In the gospel, John says, one is coming after me who's going to baptize you with Spirit and fire. And the Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire sometimes. On the Feast of Pentecost, it's all about the flames of fire, the tongues of fire that appeared over their heads as the wind blew the Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus at one point says, I have a baptism to receive and how I wish the fire were ignited. You know, Jesus is aware that there's something dangerous and deadly about this transformation. And so are we. And as life goes on and various things get thrown at us from the way life is, unfairness, tragedy, loss, failure, and all of this kind of seasons us like it did Jesus. It prepares us for the coming death, and we learn how to die. And we practice death ritually every time we come to Mass. We lay our lives on the altar along with Christ as we remember his sacrificial death and resurrection. And in the Eucharistic prayer, we have this Eucharistic acclamation, we proclaim your death, O Lord, and your resurrection until you come again. And the reason we can face into death so readily is because we believe in the resurrection. Because baptism isn't just about death, it's also about resurrection. And Jesus' death wasn't the end of the story. We wouldn't be here if that had been the end of the story. The end of the story is resurrection and glory and ascension. And so Jesus, who already is there at the right hand of the Father, is beckoning us and gracing us through the power of the Spirit to be transformed into him. And so our future is glorious. We're going to share in the very glory of Christ because we are children of God, heirs of the kingdom. In the ritual for baptism for children, after we do the baptism, we process down to the altar, the priest says, this child is now called a child of God, for so indeed she is. Through baptism, we become adopted children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ. And so what Paul says to Titus in that second reading today is so pertinent. You know, we're destined to live holy and blameless lives. We're destined to be like Christ. And he has offered himself for our salvation. And his death and resurrection and the breath of his Spirit has transformed us into him so that we can live those kind of lives even now. This doesn't have to wait until some distant future. The kingdom in many ways is already here, and it's here in us. But it takes the courage to die to the world. It takes the courage to die to our ego, to our self-concern. If we're going to become Christ, we're going to have to let go of our self-concern. There is no self-concern in God. In the Trinity, they're all giving themselves completely without reservation to each other, dying, letting go, no self-concern, only the other. And that's, as children of God, who we are. We are beings for others. The other takes precedence over our own ego. Now, most of us would say, as we're hearing these words, well, that's not me, I'm not there yet. And yeah, maybe we're not there yet. But deep down, that's who we instinctively are. We were created in God's image. We have divine blood coursing through our veins. This is who we really are deep down. And the reason we come here Sunday after Sunday and go through this ritual is to be reminded of that reality. And to eat it and drink it, to take it into our very bodies, into our consciousness of our true identity.